can't name their wide receivers. Their running game stinks. Houston's running game is as bad as Tampa's, and that's saying a mouthful. And I know because I drafted their running back in fantasy. He's doing nothing. This guy's averaging 3 yards a carry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. A little under the weather today, but not too bad. Sage is grinding through. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here. Bill Curry Ford is there for you right now. BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. That is the family name, the Curry name, since 1960, taking care of customers in Tampa and beyond. They're still family owned. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, he's our good friend, diehard Bucks fan to the extreme, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, host of the Best in Class podcast, new episode this week. Sean, if you're listening, let's keep it to a half an hour, buddy, okay? No, none of this going over, even though it was good stuff. Keep it tight. You're a professional. Bill Curry Ford, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, $500 gift card that Sean is handing out for ordering a new vehicle. It's so easy online through their concierge ordering system. Poof, no deposit. But go to their website now, BillCurryFord.com. You'll see 581 vehicles in the inventory. Fantastic. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, we're going to talk about Florida's Elite Restoration and our other fantastic supporter, Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, a little bit later. Ira, I don't want to lose you. Are you okay? Are you doing okay?
No reason for alarm, Steve. A little under the weather. But you know, the more I think about it, Steve, a nice piping tall glass of Kolsch might fix me right up at Big Storm, Steve. That might be the antidote.
That is the Sage's favorite at Big Storm. I was going to say, no mold. You don't want any mold, but you'll go for the beer. I got it. What?
You got to call Josh and his people at Florida's Elite Restoration. They know what they're doing. You'll have total satisfaction that you're dealing with professionals. Florida's Elite Restoration.
And of course, that's a joke, as Florida's Elite Restoration is a licensed mold remediation specialist, floridaselite-restoration.com. All right, Ira, look, we got a pregame here. We've got some chatter at $1 this week. Todd Bowles, I'm not sure what he's been saying. He's sort of losing it a little bit, I think, in his messaging, to me anyway. But Dave Canales was talking. What are you liking, or what is catching you at $1 this week?
Well, I'll tell you what caught me this morning, Steve. I almost dropped my coffee. My bagel almost fell into my coffee. I went on the Joe Bucks fan site, as I do every morning, first thing, when I fire up the computer. And what do I see? I see a Todd Bowles confidence poll. Steve, it should have been named Todd Bowles lack of confidence poll. What Bowles is losing is the faith of the fans. Now, that can easily, flip. It's a week-to-week thing. Had they beaten the Falcons, but they didn't, you know, the confidence would have soared. Had they upset the Bills, which, you know, none of us really expected, it would have changed things. But now they've lost 4 out of 5, 3 in a row, and the numbers are not very good. One thing Lee and I were talking about, Steve, before the podcast started, and I think I'm going to bring it up right here on air. Lee and I were in the conference room when Todd was at the podium. And we were asked about the inertia. We didn't use that word, but, you know, nothing happened at the trade deadline, unless you want to talk about John Wolford. And when Bowles was asked about it, Steve, he switched all questions to Jason Light. It's like he didn't have an opinion. Perhaps he and Light had a difference of opinion about whether the Bucks should seek a little upgrade to the roster. For me, Jason Light's message to the roster is simple. We believe in you. We have faith in you. I wish I shared that 100%, Steve. But some of the areas that the three of us hit on all the time with this run. Well, why should we think, Lee? Why should we think, given the roster and the schemes and the play calling, that the ground game, which is abysmal, and there's no other word for it, Lee, why should we think it's going to improve in week 9? Why?
Well, that's a very good question. I don't know if it'll be week 9 now. Steve mocks me for this all the time. I'm not saying Steve's wrong. Maybe I'm too much of a wuss. But I'm willing to give Canales the benefit of the doubt that it takes time. But, and I wrote this week on JoeBucksFan.com, there's a couple of teams that have no worse of a record than the Bucks that made major changes this week. They were not satisfied. Ownership, coaches, management, whatever. They were not satisfied with their offensive results. They made major changes. The Raiders cleaned house offensively. Got rid of Mick Lombardi, got rid of Josh McDaniels, got rid of the GM, anointed a rookie quarterback to take over. Obviously, the Falcons, they benched dismal Desmond Ridder. And oh, by the way, you remember how the Bucs got three takeaways on Desmond Ridder and still lost? It's points, Todd. It's not turnovers. It's points.
And even the Niners stayed aggressive with John Lynch, went out and made a deal for Chase Young.
Sure, but I don't foresee them collapsing or fighting for a wild card spot or something like that. The Falcons and Raiders are in a similar boat the Bucs are, as far as the records go. And their offenses are lousy. And they saw to it that, okay, we got to do something here. Unless we want different results, we have to change things. I'm not suggesting Baker Mayfield get canned. I'm not suggesting Dave Canales get canned. But they're trying to do something to get different results. And the Bucs are doing what exactly? Nothing that I can tell. Oh, yeah, they got worried about more turnovers, even though they lead the league in turnover ratio. But got to have more. Got to have more. Forget the offense. Got to have more. So I just thought that was just the glaring examples there of two teams very similar to the Bucs as far as record, as maybe as far as expectations. They saw fit to change things. And the Bucs see fit to do what? Give confidence to Mike Evans that they want him back next year?
Hey, Steve, here's one point that I want to make at midseason. And I just think it's worth mentioning. And you might not, buy into it. You might not. But I'm going to mention it anyway. This pedestrian offense, this plodding offense, goes back to 2022. So it's not a new thing. So what changed after 21 when they, lost that heartbreaker to the Rams in the playoffs? Steve, they averaged 30 points a game those first 2 years. And they had Brady last year, played every snap, basically. Steve, we at least have to consider the absence of Bruce Arians as a factor in this offense. We gotta at least think about it. We gotta factor it in at least. I don't know how involved he was last year with Leftwich, but you would think Leftwich bounced things off Arians, and Arians was at least involved to a certain extent, and now he's not, Steve. And now he's not. So let's not forget, Steve, the Arians factor. It might loom large here right now.
Well, I don't know, Ira. The offense wasn't very good last year, so it's hard to say. I mean, that's just fuzzy. It could be, certainly Todd Bowles was somebody who would check in with Arians. I don't know if that's still going on. But, Lee, I don't mock you about Canales needing more time. I just, that's just not how the NFL works. You got to straighten out. Look at the team that's coming up on Sunday, guys, the Texans. Okay, they've got a 36-year-old offensive coordinator, first-time play caller, and a rookie quarterback, and a first-time head coach. Why is their offense better than the Bucs?
Yeah.
They don't have a great offense, but they've turned in a couple of great performances. They sort of fit more of the mold of, it takes a little time, considering the personnel. Canales has the benefit of experienced personnel, an experienced head coach over him, Tom Moore, a good offensive line. I'm not saying it's a great line, but a good line. So they got to snap out of it this time, Ira, because the bottom line is the Texans aren't very good. Bucks aren't very good either, but the Texans are certainly a beatable team.
No question. And Steve, speaking about Houston's offense, which I agree with you, overall, the first half of the season has been better than Tampa Bay's offense. Lee, I can't believe I'm saying that. I really can't. You can't name their wide receivers. Their running game stinks, Lee. Houston's running game is as bad as Tampa's. And that's saying a mouthful. And I know because I drafted their running back in fantasy. He's doing nothing. This guy's averaging 3 yards a carry. I've been checking on the Texans, and Steve, the offense seems to be winding down. It's not in an upward trajectory. I think the last two games have been poor from an offensive standpoint, especially last week. I believe Stroud, Steve, threw for about 140 yards last week, and they can't run the ball. So from that perspective, Lee, and we'll get to our picks later on, but I think the timing is pretty good for Tampa right now to win this game.
I sure hope so.
Lee, I know you've got some good reporting to share that you were able to do in the locker room on something we talked about in the last podcast. And you can find all the podcasts at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Podcasts, The Sage's Numbers, continue to rise, more subscribers. It's really fantastic. Thank you to all of our many dedicated listeners. Whenever the podcast pops, it is listened to. Lee, and well, you know what? Before I get to that, Lee, really, you know, we talk about our supporters, but we stand behind all of them. And Big Storm Brewery, their tap rooms, great food, really great food, great place to hang out and have a meal at the Big Storm Tap Room in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road. Just go to BigStormBrewery.com and check out the menu. The Nashville Hot Chicken Sandwich, the tropical salads are incredible. The Buffalo Shrimp Tacos, a huge favorite of Ira's, pork tacos, and all really great homemade food. All the different tap rooms have different menus. Ybor City, Orlando, at the Amway Center, Cape Coral. Big Storm Beer is Florida's best craft beer. It's top shelf, Sunny Key Lime, Bromosa. Go to BigStormBrewery.com. Look at all the beers and then punch in their storm tracker and you'll find out where to find your favorite Big Storm beer, BigStormBrewery.com. All right, Lee, what are you calling this thing?
The Cadence Caper. What'd you find out about that, Lee? What'd you find out?
For people who give people some background on it that don't know what I'm talking about, you know, Steve monitors the Buccaneers Radio Network, the players' shows, and Ali Marpet was saying he thought that the defensive line of the Bills, they were either the Bucs were tipping pitches or they were hearing, they had figured out Mayfield's cadence, or they were getting a good jump on every snap. And Getke admitted on the radio show, yeah, and he said he mentioned it to Tristan Wirfs, and Tristan Wirfs, yeah, you're right. So yesterday there were only two offensive linemen available, you know, starters, and one was Filer, who didn't play. And so I talked to Cody Mauch, and I said, hey, this is what Luke Getke said. And Mauch said, yeah, I'd agree with that, you know, as far as Getke saying that, yeah, they were getting a jump. And I talked to him about it, and Mauch thought the Bills' defensive line had figured out Mayfield's silent cadence. I guess they went to a silent snap count several times. You know, we talked for a few minutes, and I kind of mentioned to him, I said, did you or Tristan or Luke, did any of the offensive linemen mention that to the coaches? No? Okay. You notice how we always hear the defensive coaches talk about communication? Mike Smith talked about it a lot, but that was a cover for a middle linebacker calling the plays that no one could understand it. So, yeah, it was really communication. We hear that from Todd Bowles often. Well, what about the offense? Didn't someone think it might be important to tell the offensive line coaches or somebody, Canales, you name it, like, hey, man, we're either tipping pitches or they got Mayfield figured out. Mauch said that they did change things up late, quote-unquote late. He just said late. And he, as an example, he cited how they drew Von Miller offsides. Well, I looked it up in the game book. That Von Miller offsides was the second last play of the game.
Yeah.
So why did it wait so long? Why didn't someone tell the coaches? There's something weird going on, man.
You're going right to the heart of the question. It's not even so much was Mayfield had to tell and the Bills were on to him. That's a separate issue. Steve, the bigger issue is, why wasn't there any communication? Apparently there wasn't. Between the starting offensive linemen, who were very aware of what was going on, and the guys that could have changed something. Canales or the offensive assistants. Steve, that's a real puzzle.
Yeah, you're forgetting the big guy who could change something is Mayfield. He's the guy calling the cadence. I'm glad Lee did some great digging there, and you know that story's put to bed. It's a colossal screw-up, and hopefully they learn something from it. I mean, every week we're hoping they learn a new lesson on offense. This week, Ira, I hope the lesson is this. You know, the season's on the line. Pound the freaking ball into Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. If you have to force them throws, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that if you're tossing up 50-50 balls to these guys or pushing the limits. I mean, is there any reason these guys can't get 25 targets in this game? If one of them's covered, the other one's going to have a decent shot. I think they really have to lean on these guys. They say they want to use Rashad White, you know, more in the passing game. He's a weapon as out of the backfield. You know, he's had two good games in a row. Then just do it. You know, just stop talking about it. If White is effective as a receiver out of the backfield and you have your two big guns, then that's where two-thirds of the plays should be going.
I like where you're at, Steve. I like where you're at because, you know, I'm about to give up on the ground game. I'm coming around to the Kemper, which is a dangerous place to be when you're coming around to lead the Kemper. I'm right there with you. Lee, I've been watching this for a year and a half. I haven't been watching this for three games. I've been watching it for a year and a half. Same running back, different offensive line, different coordinator, same result. 2.8 yards, 3.2 yards. Every time you look around, it's 3rd and 7. I'm tired of it. I'm with Steve on this one. Air it out. Use White as your safety valve, and he's a really good one. He really makes that first guy miss when he's got the ball in his hands in space. Now, his running instincts, Lee, that's a whole other matter. And yeah, you've been watching him like a hawk, and you've talked about it a lot. But if give Godwin, you know, 10 targets, give Evans 11 or 12 targets, get some flags. You know, it's a young Houston defense. DeMeco Ryan's, he's a good defensive coach. They got Will Anderson. He's a rookie. Air it out. And by the way, while you're airing it out, score a freaking touchdown in the first quarter.
Right now, I just say just score a touchdown. I'll be happy. But you're right. You're right, Ira. I was talking a little bit earlier about what are the Bucs trying to do to change things up and maybe, you know, spark the offense in some way. And I've written this several times. I sort of mockingly, sort of, that Rashad White's a misplaced slot receiver.
Yeah.
But there's a kernel of sincerity in that line. Since it's a waste of time giving him the ball or handing the ball off in the run game. And Bowles has recently grumbled about Trey Palmer, inability to block, gets penalties. Rashad White's actually a good blocker. He's very underrated as a blocker. Why not move him to receiver? See what happens. See if that sparks something. What are you going to lose? I just threw that out there. You know, something. Try something. It's not like you're losing a valuable runner. You're not. You might be gaining a valuable receiver.
Interesting observation on Rashad White. And I'll add to it this way, Steve. Can Keyshawn Vaughn or Chase Edmonds do any worse as carrying the ball as Rashad White, Steve?
Unfortunately, yes.
Can they, Steve? Can they?
I mean, look, Edmonds missed a wide open hole the other day. First game back after an injury. Todd Bowles talked on the radio network about, he actually mentioned the miss hole. Usually they don't do that. He flat out called him on it. And that was a big, big gainer there if Edmonds had gotten through. You know, he chalked it up to rust, and he says Edmonds is a very different kind of runner than the other guys. I think we're going to see Edmonds get a shot, but, I mean, they've all had shots and nobody's done it, so I don't really know what to expect anymore. But I do expect, Ira, I do expect one good running game this season. It's just going to happen. The odds are going to make it happen, and then everybody's going to go crazy, and Jason Light's going to see me in the street, and he's going to be like, see, you didn't know what the hell you were talking about. But they need more than one good game.
They had one last year, you know, in Germany, when Lee was there. They had one.
They had it on opening day. They had that. They, you know, there was 2.5, but that's terrible out of 17. Or 18, really, with the playoffs. Ira, anything you picked up at $1 sniffing around there like you did?
Well, you know, I asked Mayfield a pointed question, and I was a little disappointed in his answer. I didn't think he was as accountable as he could be, because to me, he speaks for the offense. And that's the way I posed the question. Lee was right there. And I said, speaking for your side of the ball. That's how I started. And I'm glad he didn't stop me right there and say, well, I'm only one out of 11 guys. I'm glad he didn't say that. He's the quarterback. I said, speaking for your side of the ball, is there a sense that you guys have to pick up your game because this defense is playing well and keeping you in every game? I thought he was going to basically agree to the point and say, we're not getting our job done. We're not doing our share. I wanted to hear that from Mayfield. Doesn't necessarily have to say it about himself, but as a group, we're not doing our share. Now, Lee, this is not the 85 Bears. You know, it's not. It's not the 02 Bucks or the 2000 Ravens, but it's a pretty good defense, Lee. It's like number 6 in points allowed. I don't care about the yards. You don't care about the yards. It's about points. Mm-hmm. And if they're top 10 with an offense this terrible, that to me is pretty impressive, Lee. That's impressive. They almost never play with a lead. You got to consider that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I thought it was a fair question to Mayfield. He basically just said in general, yeah, we all got to do better. You know, it was a very Todd Bowles type of answer. Lee, I expected a little bit more out of Mayfield for that question because, Lee, at the midpoint of a season, you don't see that much of a disparity, generally speaking, between a team's offense and a defense. And here, I think we got a hell of a disparity, and Buck fans don't like it one bit.
No, and I don't blame Bucks fans. And you're right, there is a disparity. And Ira, you bring up something that kind of spurs me to ask this question. It made me think, which is a good thing, critical thinking. I had a journalism professor always talk about critical thinking. The defense is playing well, and I know a lot of people are really hung up about the third down defense. I'm hung up on points scored. Yeah, I know that's weird. And the Bucs are very good at keeping people out of the end zone defensively. The offense stinks. Don't you figure sooner or later, if that offense doesn't kick into gear, the defense is going to get burned out? Or am I?
Absolutely, Lee. Absolutely. I think it happened last year.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not going to be too doom and gloom here. 3-4, Sage. 3-4. It's a little too early for the sides to be turning on each other. It's not like the defense is.
No question about it.
Not like the defense is lighting it up. Looks like Vita Vea will be back. That should help. The Texans don't run the ball well, as you mentioned, Sage. Not a good running team. Bucks should be a special defensive run-stopping team. But with Vea back, they're at least going to be pretty good. They should be able to shut down the Texans here. And rookie quarterback Todd Bowles is supposed to know how to handle that guy. And, surprise C.J. Stroud with stuff he's never seen before with all these high-paid corners and Winfield, and we all know the names. Now they just got to find a way to put it together here, Ira. Before we get into the picks, what are you looking for from the defense in this game?
Well, I'm not going to say takeaways, Steve, because I'm a little surprised that Houston has protected the ball so well, especially Stroud. Lee, one interception? I mean, for rookie, that's damn impressive. He's thrown 230-something passes. It's not like he doesn't throw the ball. One interception? That is fantastic on C.J. Stroud. I can just hear Sean Sullivan, Lee. Can't you hear him listening to this podcast?
Oh, yeah, he loves C.J. Stroud.
And saying, what did I tell you? What did I tell you about Stroud? I told you he's better than Bryce Young. He's better than this guy. And he also liked Will Levis, I think.
He did not. He was. I'm sure Steve can back me up on this. Apparently, Sean was about ready to jump off the balcony at Ybor City during the Big Storm draft party because he was scared to death Light was going to draft Will Levis.
You know, you're right, Lee. You're right. I got that mixed up. But he did love Stroud. He did love Stroud. So, Steve, what I'm looking for, and you stole my thunder a little because I agree wholeheartedly with what you said. I think the Bucs are going to throw a defensive blanket on this team. Now, watch Houston score 37 points, Lee. I mean, that better not happen. So I might as well go ahead and kick this off, Lee, because I'm 6-1. I'm feeling very good.
Woo!
And the only game I missed was the Falcon game, which was an abomination. Still can't believe you get 3 red zone fumbles all by the same guy. You find a way to lose the game. Still hard to believe. So, Lee, I'll start it off. I think the Bucs are going to win this game. I think they need to win this game. And I think they're going to win it defensively, Lee. I got them winning. I got them scoring 23 points, which is an offensive explosion.
Yeah.
For the visitors. And I think Houston scores 10 or 13. But I'll say 23-13. I don't see Houston doing much offensively, Lee. I just don't think they have the weapons. They don't run the ball. Rookie quarterback against Bowles. I think this is the week, not necessarily takeaways, but I think Houston's going to punt about 8 times. And the Buck defense is going to win this game.
You got 2 defensive guys going at it this week. Yeah, I kind of tongue-in-cheek said I think Bowles cares more about turnovers than he does points. And I don't know if DeNico Ryans, who's doing a hell of a job, I think. I don't think he's a whole lot different than Bowles. So I'm going to say Bucks 17, Houston 13.
Sage, man,
Don't do it, Steve.
Well, look, I really thought the Bucks would be able to take care of the Bills. I wasn't just joking around. I didn't think the Bills were very good. I still don't think they're very good. And there were just a lot of red flags in that game for the Bucs. They're playing like crap. I'm just not feeling why I should, but I'm not finding reasons to believe why they should get out. Last time they were coming off a bye, the Bucs, they looked horrible coming off the bye. And now they've got this mini bye, which should help them. But I'm just not buying it. I just don't know where it's going to come from. I know they have the talent and the ability to do it, but you know what? They've been living on turnovers, and Houston doesn't make a lot of turnovers. I hate to do it, but I'm going Houston 17-16 in this game.
Boy, Steve, a result like that would have some ramifications around one Buck place. I'm not talking about a change in head coach, of course. I'm not. But something's got to change, and the trash people would be, they'd be full-throated at that point, Steve.
Pretty close. I'm going to tick people off by saying this. I don't believe, barring Baker Mayfield getting hurt, that Kyle Trask is going to start one game this year.
I don't agree with that. But I'll throw into this. They got to be out of the picture. And Lee, in the NFC South, you're almost never out of the picture. I understand that. But Lee, if we're talking about 4-8, I'm putting Trask in.
Would they have to come from above if they're 4-8?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And I don't think Bowles would argue the point at that stage. And I think Light would be so beaten down that he couldn't have much of an answer for the Glazers. I don't think it's going to get to that point, Steve, but I wouldn't rule out, if things go totally wrong, that Trask finishes the last four games of the year.
I wouldn't rule it out either at all. Let's just say, I don't even want to think it, but let's just say the Bucks go 1-3 in their next four games. That would put them at 4-7. I think they might hand it to Trask for December. You know, give him a shot, see what happens, and they can always go back to Mayfield. We've seen that nonsense before, changing quarterbacks. If they really go in the tank like that, I could see it. It may not come from Bowles, though, Lee. They may come from above.
I think Mayfield was Bowles' guy, and he's not going to give up on his guy. That's where I was coming from.
I see your point, Lee. I see your point.
Frankly, you know, I don't think Mayfield's playing that bad. He's not playing at a Pro Bowl pace or anything, but that's part of this.
You know what? I'll say this real quick about Mayfield. And it's not my idea. It was a reader, maybe it was someone on Twitter that Twittered Steve and I. A reader said, ever since teams have kept Mayfield between the tackles, or maybe the Bucks have kept Mayfield between the tackles, because the Bucks were saying he was running too much, ever since that happened, this team made a left turn.
We saw it all during training camp. We saw it during preseason. And now he looks like Tom Brady or Matt Ryan. And it's not working.
Without the result.
All this disaster talk, Ira, I don't like it. I don't like it. We're not even at the halfway point. And I get it. You lose three in a row. You deserve it. But all the disaster chatter, it reminds me of Florida's Elite Restoration, which is my first phone call in a disaster. Storm damage, flood, mold, fire, whatever it is. You call them 24/7. You mention Joe Bucks Fan or Ira. And after they come to your property for a free assessment, evaluation of what's going on with your damage, if you use their services, they'll give you $500 back for mentioning Ira or Joe Bucks Fan. Maybe that's a deductible, or maybe that is just cash back for restoration services that you need in your time of need. Owner Josh Martin, big Bucks fan, but more important, great family-owned business covering the entire Bay Area. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Get there now. Learn about their services so you know where to go when you have that issue. Josh and his team, they've got 20-plus years combined experience on the insurance side of the business, so you're not going to get screwed. These guys know how to fight for you and with you and right alongside you when you need that money to repair your property from insurance funds that you deserve. Florida's EliteRestoration.com.
Hey, Sage, we talked about the scoring quickly, and that's just something they haven't been able to do, and there's no excuse for it to the extreme like we've seen it, but I thought Mayfield made an interesting comment this week, and at first I did the math. This year, the Bucks are averaging 1.86 points in the first quarter. Last year, they averaged 3.16 in the first quarter through the whole season, and that wasn't good, but it's a lot better than this season. You know, Mayfield said, he noted that you got to be better on the opening drive. And he said, quote, be on the same page on the first drive, which is a red flag again. It's just like, how are you not on the same page on the first drive when it's scripted all week long? And you did.
Scripted.
Yeah.
Scripted.
Yeah. So, I mean, he actually said, be on the same page. What do they have? Two different playbooks out there?
Disturbing, Steve. Disturbing. A lot of these quotes in retrospect seem a little disturbing. One thing Steve didn't mention, but if he went back to 2020 and 2021, when this team averaged 30 points a game, he would have seen that the first quarter numbers were in the sevens, maybe even eight. And now it's 1.8. Huge difference in grabbing the game by the collar, letting the defense play with a lead. Lee, I was so tired last year of them going into halftime and, you know, they're losing 10-3. You can't pin that on the defense, Lee. You just can't. Happen all the time. And, gee, I don't see much improvement this year. Hey, guys, can I get a big strong beer over here?
All right. Ira, we're going to be cutting this a little tight today because, you know what, my voice is shot. and we've got some film study to get to. We know we have a session at your house tonight, 11:30 p.m. when your wife goes to bed. We'll be diving into some game film. I got to say this, Mike Evans made news this week because the Jets were trying to, multiple reports, even out of the New York Post, the Jets were trying hard multiple times to trade for Mike Evans. And Jason Light said no. Now, when I saw that, the first thing I thought of was that means Aaron Rodgers wants Mike Evans. And that also means to me, Aaron Rodgers probably talked to his good friend Tom Brady about Mike Evans. And that has to get in the head of Mike Evans thinking Aaron Rodgers wants to play with me. And if he wants to play with me, then other teams want to give me a hell of a lot of money. And while the Bucs want to keep Evans and they can always slap the franchise tag on him, which would not be outrageous for a receiver of his caliber, what did you think of that revelation and what it means in the bigger picture?
The first thing I thought of, Lee, and I dare say you might have thought the same way, had the Bucs been 2-5 instead of 3-4, and these division standings look the way they do in the NFC South, I think Jason Light would have picked up that phone, and it would have been some kind of a negotiation. It might have went to fruition. It might not have, but there would have been a discussion instead of Light saying not interested, because at that point, the Glazers are involved, Lee, with a player of Mike Evans' caliber. And if the Bucks were 2-5 and the division leader was 6-1, Mike Evans might no longer have been a Buck. That's my impression.
You know, this is an interesting subject, but I don't know which way to go on it. For example, Wednesday morning, was the trade deadline? No, Tuesday. Tuesday morning, Light was on Good Morning Football. Peter Schrager, he sort of interrupts Light's PR campaign. He's like, Jason, you know, since I got you on here, I got to ask you a football question. And his question was about Mike Evans. I'm guessing Schrager got tipped off by the Jets people. That's just a guess. That's the hunt. And I know Schrager's tight with the New York teams. And, you know, Light said, I look forward to having Mike Evans on the team next year and setting more records. I'm paraphrasing, but Light was overly confident. I look forward to Evans on the team next year with the Bucs and continuing his record seasons and whatever. So sounds like he's going to make a heck of an effort to keep Evans. And then I think like you, Ira, like, my gosh, if they were losing, you know, wouldn't they want to, you know, see what they could fetch from Evans? And I do a reverse field and I think, well, is one reason Light wants to keep Evans, if there's a coaching change, that's a hell of a nice carrot on the end of a stick. Like, hey, you come with us, we'll get you a new quarterback. You get to pick the quarterback. And, oh, by the way, he'll be throwing to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin.
That's interesting, Lee, because there's a chance the Bucs are going to have – there's a good chance the Bucs will have a different guy under center in 2024. It's not for certain, but there's more than a decent chance, especially in a quarterback-rich draft, which might have five guys, according to Sean Sullivan, go in the first round. So you don't necessarily have to jump up to the – to the 1 or 2 spot. You might be able to get somebody at 11. You might. That turns out to be a very good NFL quarterback. Lee, that's a fair point. You want to give that guy, if you go out and get him, you want to give him guys to throw to. And if you lose Evans, you know, it's Godwin and pray for rain, right, Lee? Because they don't get much out of the tight end. They don't. But I'm going to stick with what I said, Steve. I think if the Bucs were 2-5, 4 games out of first place, nobody's surprised that the Jets were interested in Mike Evans. I don't necessarily think it's tied to Aaron Rodgers at this point because he's not playing this season. But, you know, why wouldn't Robert Saleh want Mike Evans? He thinks the Jets can make the playoffs, and I don't blame him. He's got a heck of a defense. They might limp their way to a 10-7 season. They might, even without Aaron Rodgers. So certainly if they got Evans, that chances would be enhanced. So no surprise the teams are interested in Mike Evans, Steve. I think what Jason Light went ahead and said to Schrager, we plan on keeping him for a long time. He's got to say that, Steve. I wouldn't put that much stock in it. We'll see what happens. A lot could change between now and free agency.
Well, just to put a bow on it, Ira, as you would say, with one last angle, it's possible that Jason Light ran a potential deal past Mike Evans' agent, who said, don't screw Mike like that. He's got his 1,000-yard streak on the line. He doesn't want to play with Zach Wilson. He doesn't want to play in that turf that seems to eat up knees. That Meadowlands turf seems to eat up knees. You know, don't do it. It's possible that could have been an angle, but we'll never know.
I don't buy it because I think in the end, Light's got to do what's best for this franchise. And at 3-4, Lee, I think Light did the right thing. Mike Evans is not available. I think he did the right thing with this division up for grabs.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Iris, say goodbye to the great people of Tampa Bay like only you can.
All right. My cousin and I, he lives in Galveston, home of Mike Evans, hometown. He's a big Texans fan. So he texted me today and said, yeah, looks like your guys are coming to Houston Sunday. Who's going to win that game? I said, I like the visitors. He said, I like the home team. He said, what are we going to wager on this game? And my reply, Lee, a slab of ribs. A slab of ribs. If you're going to Texans, you get a slab of ribs. You think we got barbecue here in Tampa? Travel around the country a little bit. Go to Kansas City. Lee, you've been there. They got some great places there. And, of course, Texas barbecue. Tough to beat, guys. Once again, we end on a food note, Steve.
The Texas barbecue capital of the world. It is Lockhart. It's near
Lockhart, Texas.
It's like a half hour outside of Austin. Place is nothing but freaking barbecue places. It is awesome. Black's Barbecue, my gosh.
I'm putting it on my GPS. I'll be there by Sunday morning.
I don't know, Ira. Ever since you put that calzone in your trunk, I don't trust you.